Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're talking baseball now, and of course, Major League Baseball and the Players Association, they continue to sort of negotiate and try and come closer to having a deal. The latest seems to be that the owners are starting to warm up to the idea that maybe, just maybe, they can figure out this prorated salary thing and meet the that part of the demand of the players. And then, of course, the question then becomes how many games they're going to play. Joining us now is our pre- and post-game show host for the Pirates, also does a number of things for West Virginia football and just an all-around versatile great broadcaster. That would be Dan Zangrilli. How you doing today, Dan?
Good, Paul. Thanks. Sorry for the tardiness. I had my hands full.
That's all right. It sounds like it was a little bit of a mess, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's the life of a father of a 10-month-old.
Yep. I mean, absolutely. And that's
It was a good one, too.
Those are the things that happen, and, that's part of the joys of parenting, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yep. A quick change of clothes, and we're good. For
yeah,
me,
yeah, exactly.
For
quick
me,
change of
him.
Clothes sometimes. Sometimes it's just, you roll with it with the same clothes you have on and whatever.
No, I couldn't do that this time. It was bad.
Well, Dan, it's pretty clear to me that the baseball players and owners seem to be slowly but surely crawling towards each other to the point where I'm a little bit more optimistic now that we actually might have baseball. I don't know. Where do you stand on that?
Well, they were essentially trying to do to each other what my son just did to me about 5 minutes ago. But luckily, they are, as you mentioned, I think, getting there. And listen, did Coonley and Boris, Paul, ever come in ahead of schedule? Because isn't that what this is, right? Frank Coonley, after he leaves the Pirates, he goes back to Eastern Pennsylvania, by all accounts, from everything that I've heard. He is going to be working for Major League Baseball after he leaves the Pirates, essentially the job that he had before Pittsburgh, and that is working in the commissioner's office by trade. He's a labor attorney. So he is likely pulling some strings behind the scenes or has a big voice here. And he's a very smart guy, and he's a very shrewd negotiator. Well, so too is Scott Boras. And we all know the history between Coonley and Boras, and they've never, ever finished ahead of schedule. And I'm not to suggest here that it's just Coonley versus Boras, but these are two really big voices that are in the room here. So that is probably driving to some extent this, but there's never, ever been a negotiation between the Players Association and the owners, at least for the better part of the last 50 years, that has been an easy one. So to expect anything to be easy, to expect anything to be quick and efficient and painless, that is just not going to happen. There could be one piece, Paul, of pecan pie left, and it would literally take a week to figure out who's going to get the walnuts or the almonds at the top, and who's going to get the crust, and who's going to get the gushy stuff in the middle, because that's just the way that it is. And quite frankly, if you want to go even beyond this, maybe that's the way that it should be in the United States here, where you have a very, very strong union representing labor and a very solvent ownership group that has to go back and forth with one another, and you just don't have one person with all the control. And that's what we have here. So for the folks that I think are getting nervous that the baseball won't happen, or that they're sort of getting jaded with one side or the other. This is just old history repeating itself on a really important issue. And of course, a spotlight is being shined on it. And that's where we're at. So this is, I think, what everybody expected. For one ridiculous proposal to get countered by another ridiculous proposal. And then once we peel back those couple of layers in the onion, we get a little bit closer, a little bit closer, and we'll eventually hammer things out. I mentioned to Jason Mackey this morning that I think they're going to play 74.750 games, 74 and three quarters games. Like, it'll come down to that hair being split, that atom being split, because that is Major League Baseball and the Players Association. No matter what it is, they're going to negotiate to 11:59 and 59 seconds.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I think it's going to be one of those things where, you know, they wait until the final, till the final bell is about ready to ring, and then they'll magically figure it out. Dan, do you think there's any chance in the world that the players would actually sign off on a 50 or 60 game season? Because I just can't see that happening.
No, and I don't think that we'll be seeing baseball's final regular season game being played on October 31st either. So I think it's probably going to be in the low 70s before it's all said and done. If I'm to just pick a number, I don't think it's going to be 114, probably not going to be 82. And so I think it's going to have a 7 in front of it, if I'm to hedge a bet there. And that's why I jokingly said, but maybe I might not be so far off when I said 74 and three quarters games. Like, they might play a half a game. We'll have this one random, you know, 5.5 inning game that's out there. But no, I don't think that the players, truth be told, would want to go to late October and have a World Series, especially with an expanded playoff format in November, because, listen, they cherish their offseason probably just as much as anything else, and that resting and recovery time is going to be really, really important. So to be conceivably playing baseball games, if you're a postseason club, right, at or around Thanksgiving, That's just going to be tough, because that's a really quick turnaround from a baseball perspective, if you think about it. Because I don't think players have been kicking their feet up here. They've been going, if you will, and trying to stay in shape and pushing their body since February. So this is already, even though the game load isn't going to be as significant as it typically is, it's still going to be, I think, a taxing year on the body if they do get 75 to 82 games in, very, very few off days. Travel is probably going to be a little crazy. The whole thing is going to be stressful and crazy, and it's going to take its toll. So do I think that the players are also going to want to extend a season that late if you gave them some truth serum? No, because February 2nd or 3rd or whenever minicamp starts, that's going to be a real quick turnaround. And believe you me, players are talking about that behind closed doors.
Yeah, I saw the one owner who basically said everything has to be done by October.
Kendrick, correct? Yeah, of Arizona, and I think that that's fair, and I bet you, again, if you gave players truth serum, that they would probably want that too. So, I mean, owners want 50 to 60 games, players want 114, so you split the thing down the middle. It's, again, probably going to be in that 70 or so game range, and I don't think anybody wants to be going into November. Players or owners for a variety of reasons, because you have just so much going on to compete with as well for that postseason to be in play, you know, between college football, the NFL, college basketball is going to start creeping into the equation. So, yeah, there's just not a lot of reasons to want to go ahead and be playing baseball games when you're serving turkey and stuffing on the table. I mean, it's nonsensical.
Yeah, it is, and I would think at some point in the season when it becomes, you know, mid-December or mid-November, even late November, you'd have to really start thinking about neutral sites in the South. Yeah. To actually realistically play games that late. So
and think about, Paul, turning around here. So what's your offseason going to be, 2 months? I mean, how can you properly rest and recover and do anything, especially for guys like in their walk year or their contract year going into that year? That's where they use that offseason to do whatever it is to their body to make it certainly fine-tuned, ready to go, because, you know, they have a money-making year coming up. I mean, the offseason is so important to Major League Baseball players that I can't imagine them wanting to hack that By a third, maybe even more so, if you think about that. I mean, we're probably going to arrive at something that starts with a 7, whether that's 75 games, 79 games, 72 games. I guess your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, that's going to be the thing, is how many games are they actually going to play? I can't imagine them allowing themselves to only play 50 games. Just from the standpoint of, you know, they can say whatever they want to say, but at the end of the day, they want to try and make as much money as they possibly can. And I think that, you know, the more games they play, the more they'll be able to fight for, more salary. And that's really, at the end of the day, what these two sides are arguing about. You know, Dan, I think one of the most one of the most depressing parts of all of this, and again, I don't know who's more right and who's more wrong, and I don't really want to get into all that just because, you know, I can see merits to both sides' arguments and I can see where both sides are being silly, but I think it's absolutely ridiculous that we've got some of these teams that are legitimately talking about and probably going to do not pay minor leaguers $400 a week until September 1st. That, to me, is just absolutely ridiculous.
It is. I mean, I guess we're getting into philosophy here now. I mean, Paul, you and I are, I suppose, average Joes. Many of our listeners out there, likely average Joes. I'm a small business owner as well, so I have and can appreciate what it takes to literally have to, even when times are bad, write a check to somebody when you may not have the money that you would like, or you may have not had a good month with revenue. So I can appreciate that. That's truly a feeling where your hand trembles, and it's very, very, very difficult to do that, especially during some really troubling times. But having said that, and Scott Boras, I think, put this very succinctly, and I don't necessarily agree with Boras on every single matter, but he mentioned that, you know, owners, and this is painting with a broad brush, right, and this isn't probably entirely fair, but if you want to put it up all into one sentence and in a vacuum and package it up like we do in today's world, owners love to privatize the gains. That's right, where capitalism works, and they love to socialize the losses. So listen, when you're hemorrhaging money, and I'm sure the owners are, to what extent, that's something that they probably should be a little more forthcoming with, because I think all of us would maybe, if it's as bad as they say it is, we would have a deeper appreciation and an understanding for the pain that they're currently under. But really, when you add it all up, it's pretty nominal what these minor leaguers make. And I mean, is it the owner's job? I mean, you get into that philosophical debate. Is it their duty and their job to certainly pay people not to work and things of that nature, especially when the contracts aren't guaranteed and they have no obligation? Why should they go ahead and set up essentially a corporate welfare system? I mean, you can get into all of those philosophical debates, and I can understand and appreciate a lot of those. But really, I mean, you have an optics problem to begin with. And the cost that it's already cost them in bad PR and just bad looks to further sour the fan base and whoever was on the owner's side, you just clearly continued to strengthen the narrative that you are out of touch, that you live in an ivory tower, that you have no sympathy for the common man whatsoever. And that's something that they have to overcome. And it sort of makes, I think, baseball owners in general, a very vilified type of figure. Right or wrong, that's what the perception is. Perception, in this case, if that's reality, that's the reality that they, for whatever reason, painted themselves into that corner. And they'll probably pay, you know, three times that amount in bad PR or trying to make up for their, you know, stepping over a dollar bill to pick up a few pennies on the ground.
Yeah. No, I mean, I just that just to me, I mean, you know, when you read about how much it would actually cost to do that for two more months.
And like I said,
it's a hard one to accept. That's all.
And I sympathize with somebody again who owns. This is coming from somebody who owns a business that has had some bad months, that has had to writing a check every 2 weeks to somebody else if they are underperforming or not performing, or when you have a bad month. That is a tough thing to do on a number of different fronts, from a practical perspective, from a philosophical perspective. I can sympathize with that. And anybody out there that owns any form or fashion of business can appreciate that. But at the end of the day, what are we talking here? I mean, it is pretty nominal, and you've got to be pretty practical with it, because obviously you're going to get crushed like they've gotten crushed here over the last week to 10 days.
No, absolutely. Well, Dan, I appreciate you taking some time, man. I know you're really busy, and, hopefully we can do it again when we're actually talking about baseball, actually playing or something. Thanks for taking some time, my man.
You got it. I think it's going to happen, man. We'll talk to you.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.